basically, we have a situation of a gentleman who passed away and relatives didn't know for more than a month, and he had been delinquent in his taxes many times, but his property nonetheless was put on for it was foreclosed, it's put up for sale. The family said they'll pay the back taxes, and they're saying that the Ingham County Treasurer's Office is not helping them. Tell us your side of this story.
Well, you know, as is true with so many things in life, this is a process. We're working through that process. We help, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people. But you do reach a statutory time, which is March 31st, on or about March 31st, where the ability to wheel and deal has gone away. The family, I understand the family's position. You know, they would like to be able to come in late after the redemption period for the foreclosure has expired and still be able to redeem the property. But, you know, my job is to handle all of the properties in the same way and to defend that. And, you know, that's the part of the process that we're exercising. Just as they can come to the judge late and try to appeal, we can have the process be upheld, and that's what we're going through, whether it's the reconsideration by the circuit court judge or if we have to go to the Court of Appeals, which is, again, the process.
All right, Eric, Stephen Rigby is deceased. He's gone. These folks say they want to pay the bill. It would seem like in honor of this man passing and in goodwill and wanting to keep the treasurer's office, because you've come on this program many times saying we're going to do whatever we can to help people keep their homes. Mm-hmm. Why isn't that the case here?
Well, the law is the law, would be my answer, and we're going to make sure that it is applied, you know, equally across the board. That's the approach that we are taking. We work with folks a lot. I think the moral of the story, what I hope really is the public service that we're getting out of this instance, is to help families where there's an estate issue or somebody that doesn't have all of the, you know, capacity that they should have to deal with their personal issues. I hope people will take this as a wake-up call to say, you know, let's call that distant cousin or that grandma or that aunt or somebody that we're not in touch with very much and make sure that they're okay. Because foreclosure, it's a very serious issue. You know, bad things happen to good people.
All right, Eric, I'm running out of time because of a news break, and I've got a few more questions for you. Can I call you back at 8:36 and we ask you a couple more questions? Because I want you to be able to give your side to this story.
Sure, that's fine.
All right, well, we'll call Eric Schertzing back here in just a few moments. You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS. We had Kristen Smalls, who is a relative of Stephen Rigby, live in studio, and we wanted to give Eric an opportunity to respond to some of the charges and some of the accusations, if you will, by the family. And Eric, I know you've stepped out of a meeting again. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Oh, no problem.
All right, so here we have this story, and when we were last speaking a few moments ago, you told me that they had an opportunity to take care of this challenge, and they didn't. And, you know, in talking with Kristen, not only did they try, but they were turned away, and they ran into a brick wall when it came to just moving forward and taking care of this. Do you agree with or disagree with that?
Well, you know, I think there could always be more notification, and I think that's part of what the family is looking for. You know, we go above and beyond through radio and television and newspaper advertising. For 25 months, we tell the world about a property having delinquency. The law, the statute, either has meaning and it has an end date, or it doesn't. And our position is the end date was the end of March, and the family is coming at it from a different perspective.
All right, Eric, the guy is dead. How about being the hero? And I'm just playing devil's advocate. How about being the hero, letting them pay up, and just moving forward?
Well, I think the hero is for the citizens and the taxpayers, and when I swear an oath to uphold the Constitution and the laws of the state of Michigan, that's probably what people expect me to do. I know Kristen and the family. You know, I've done overnight kids programs at church with her. You know, I know her pretty well. I appreciate their perspective. This is an ugly process. It was terrible this year. A lot of occupied properties. This was one of two, you know, dead bodies that were removed from tax foreclosure properties this year. We've never had that before. But I think the public expects me to work to uphold the law, and that's the position we're taking. The Court of Appeals or wherever this goes will give the ultimate guidance. You know, I don't argue with that. We're a society of laws, but I need to take a position that upholds the law and tries to protect all of the taxpayers of England.
All right, Eric, I got to ask you two tough questions. Number one, do you think that the taxpayers, do you think that they would support you spending tax dollars on taking this through the court process while Kristen Smalls and her relatives put together money on their own to do this?
Oh, absolutely, Tony. It cost the taxpayers $2.4 million on foreclosure day. I've recouped $400,000 of that at the first auction. We'll have another one on the 24th trying to get more of it back. The process has some properties that have some value. And if the process doesn't have those, the taxpayers are on the hook. So I'm protecting the taxpayers, not costing them money.
Are there records available to the public that would support that you would have done the same foreclosing procedure for a house on Baker Street, which is worth, you know, next to nothing, as opposed to a house that's worth $250,000 on Lake Lansing?
Well, who knows what the property's worth? I've foreclosed on multi-million-dollar properties numerous times. Going back to your first point, I think you do something different with a $10,000 property than you do with a $100,000 property. But it's always the intent to support the statute, and that's what this process will do. We've been through this process on other properties. We understand the statute pretty well. Ingham County, because we're also the court of claims for issues against the state of Michigan, which all of these foreclosures are, we have a special responsibility on behalf of the 82 other counties to make sure that we get it right in Ingham County, and that's what I'm trying to make sure that we do.
Kristen had told me that she and her family were trying to get the personal property of Stephen Rigby, and that the locks were changed, and even though they were verbally told that by some that they could get in and get them, they couldn't because they didn't have access to the house. Can you respond to that?
Well, you know, the personal property is an issue separate from anything the treasurer is doing. That's a court-appointed representative of the estate. That was Judge Garcia and the Gallagher Law Firm that handled that. These are tough situations when you're dealing with a family that's lost a loved one. Could that process have been done better? Perhaps. I think we're always trying to perfect what we do.
And a final question for you. Do you think it's proper that the accusation that someone from the Gallagher a law firm called Stephen Rigby and Kristen's father, you know, and relatives, money grubbers?
Well, you know, I think that's an inflammatory remark, perhaps unfortunate. The thing I do know from being county treasurer now in my 12th year and dealing with money most of my professional career is money brings out some very interesting reactions. And I think we're seeing that quite a bit here.
So you think that these people are motivated because they want to sell the property and make money?
I don't have people coming back on me for houses on Baker Street, to go back to your earlier question. If the property wasn't worth anything, would the family be as motivated? I don't know. I would guess not.
Well, the family has had the property since the 1940s. They bought the lots before there was anything out there. So does that factor into it at all?
Well, you know, there's a lot of heirs. There's a lot of issues concerning money that we haven't got into that aren't wrapped up in just the foreclosure action. So, you know, the bottom line is, on the money situation, there's a lot less there than everybody thinks.
But you could almost be looked at as and I'm saying in a scenario that definitely is not fact, but if they're money grubbers because they want to pay it and then sell it, couldn't the same be said for the county?
You know, with Burl Schwartz from the City Pulse early on in putting the story together, you know, Burl said he thought both of us were greedy. And I said, well, you know, I'm not going to get into a pissing match over it. Long as you don't look at one of us as being more pure than the other, I'm just going to have to accept that.
All right, Eric. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, just, you know, I've got taxpayers that are out $2.4 million. We've recouped $400,000 of it. You've got to get some of the money back from somewhere. You don't recoup your tax dollars from selling junk. You've got to have something that's worth a little bit of something.
All right.
And that's part of the process.
Tomorrow, I believe we're going to have Pat Gallagher on the show, and we're going to follow this story as it gets through the courts. I know it's been tough for you to talk about, but I appreciate your time and your candor. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tony.